Never in this church, don't ever be ashamed of what God delivered you from. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you and to see your freedom and see you walk in your freedom. So whether you're one day sober or whether you're a year and a half sober or 8 years sober, we celebrate that because we realize that is Jesus in you that has given you the victory. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. And I probably need to maybe tell you just a second. I don't want you to leave this place with condemnation. That is never, ever, ever what I'm preaching for. I don't want you to feel condemned. I want you to change. Bless God for that enthusiasm. Woo-hoo! My goodness, you bunch of deadbeats. We're going to pray the devil out of this place. So it's going to seem a little condemnatory, probably, to some of you. And you always have a choice. And your choice would be to either get mad at me and quit the church. That's your choice. My choice is I'm going to preach what the Word of God says. And I'm not going to back up on it in one iota. And it's not popular what I'm going to preach today. It's not popular in this culture. And I could care less. I'm not trying to be a popular preacher, and I'm not trying to preach a popular word. I'm trying to preach the word which will get you to the heaven that we're longing for. And those popular words may send you straight to hell. So I don't want that in any way. So turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Now that I have your interest, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And I've entitled this, Don't Be a Stinker. You ever told your children that? Okay, he says, Therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and our covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talk nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, listen to this, unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Folks, that's a straight word. You may not like it, but that's the word of God. If you're gonna listen to John 3:16 and talk about the love of Christ, you got to listen to Ephesians 5, verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, I pray for open ears. But I pray probably more for me than I do for them. God, I don't want to get on a soapbox. And I don't want to preach legalism. But I do want to preach your word. And I want to preach it hard enough that, God, that it shakes us up just a bit. And it makes us evaluate our life. So, Lord, I pray for your anointing upon me that I would be a conduit of your words today, Father. I pray, God, above all things, that Eric would just be silent in this service and that Christ would speak through him. God, I ask that their ears would be anointed, and I come against the heaviness of this service. I come against Satan in any defilement and any spirit that he would bring into this house. And I bind him in the name of Jesus and I cast him out of this place. You have no right in this room at this moment. So we bind our thoughts and our faith together. And we say, Satan, you get out of here in Jesus' name. Take every spirit with you. And for we are the light of Jesus. And we will celebrate, Lord, what you are doing in our hearts and in this church, God. We recognize, Lord, that what we have experienced in this church is not made of a man, but it's a sovereign work of God. So, Father, we celebrate what you are doing. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be a stinker. We are told to be imitators of Christ. That's Paul's goal for the church at Ephesus. And Paul loves this body of believers. And so he's telling them, this is the highest, I believe the highest level that we can go to is when we look like our daddy. And when we act like him. And when we speak like him. And we do the works that he does, right? So he says specifically in here that we would walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is easy for some, but it's difficult for others. I find that the closer I walk with Christ, the easier forgiveness is. But when I get indifferent with the Lord, when I have some distance between me and the Spirit of God, I can begin to harbor things. Now, when Jesus taught them to pray, when they said, will you teach us how to pray? I mean, I think that's so insightful because they said, you don't pray like anybody else. You don't pray like a religious man. You pray like somebody who knows his Father. Will you teach us how to do that? And I'm not going to go through the Lord's Prayer. It's Matthew chapter 6. But he says this, that you have to forgive if you want him to forgive you. Now, that's pretty serious minded. You see, if I don't forgive, the Lord says he will not forgive me. Well, I want forgiveness. I just don't always want to give forgiveness, right? And so I have to forgive. I have to. Forgiveness is not, to me, it's not like a one-time thing. It's an everything. It's all the time. It's continuous. You know, I just walk in this forgiveness. I'm not holding people's sins and things against them, but just let it go. And then he says that we should walk in love. That's the crucial divine trait of Jesus. It's the way God defines himself. He said, I am love. God is love. We will never be more like Christ than when we are acting in love, when we are walking and speaking love. So I find that the world doesn't know much about love anymore. Love to the world is some kind of stimulation, some kind of selfish thing. But love is always sacrificing. You know, if you want to show your wife that you love her, show her what you're willing to sacrifice for her. Show her that her needs come before your needs. If you love your pastor, do the same. We find that Jesus is a giver. You want to act like your Father? Be a giver. I talked a little bit about that last week and went off into I said earlier that I thought I'd preach 6 sermons, and then I got up there and Dale said, well, then you got off on tithing and you preached a 7th sermon. So I'm not doing that today. But giving should be our nature. Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about things. Let me say this. I'm a firm believer in sowing and reaping. And if there's a shortage in your life, sow that. Does that make sense? Sow like a seed. So if I feel like I don't have enough friends, sow friendship. If I need a family, sow into families. If the exact opposite is true in the kingdom than what the world teaches you. So when your finances, when finances get tight, it's not the time to shut down the finances. It's the time to give. It's the time to sow. Why? Because we're people of faith. You guys are going to make me get mad now. I'm not in a Methodist church, so come on now. And then sacrifice. God was a sacrifice. Verse 14 says, we add light and not darkness before the throne that God loves. We are the light of the world. We are bringing His light to this world. When you walk in the room should lighten up, because you are bearing the light of God. The light of Christ is illuminating out of you. We're reflective. We're like the moon. You know, in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, not extraordinary. It's your reasonable service. What? To be a living sacrifice. Those two words are oxymoron. They're totally against each other. Sacrifices is something you kill. But he says, I don't want you to die. I want you to live for me and die daily. Right? So I want you to be a living sacrifice, which is a sweet smelling aroma before the throne of God. And that's what he says here. He says, if we will live as imitators of God, if we'll walk in this life of imitating Him, something happens to our life, like the Old Testament worship, when they would sacrifice an animal, an aroma would go up before the heavens, and God would say, oh, that still smells so sweet. So what happens is, when we live our lives like this, when we walk in forgiveness, and we walk in love, and we walk in the things that God walked in, when we look like our daddy, our lives present this aroma that comes before heaven, and he inhales that aroma, and he finds it sweet smelling. Thus the title, Don't Be a Stinker. I don't want to stink in the nostrils of God. In 2 Corinthians, he says this in chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. He says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. Always. Not sometimes. Always. God never leads us to defeat. You say, well, brother, I find defeat a lot of times. Well, maybe you're not being led. I'm not saying you may not lose a scrimmage, but God always leads you to triumph. You need to let that word get in your heart so that you quit accepting defeat. Defeat is not normal for the believer. We've been called to triumph in this land. In Christ. And he says, and through us diffuses, we're giving off a fragrance, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Now, this verse confuses people a little bit, and they don't quite understand it. But to these people, they understood this verse. See, they go back 1,000 years where the kings would go out and they would go to battle. And when they won the battle, they would come back into town and they would bring the captives with them. So here comes the king and his entourage and all the people that have been held captive. And they begin to set off aromas. They begin to burn incense and spices in the city so that when they walked in, there was a smell that was coming up. Are you following me? And it says that smell to some was a smell of life. It was a sweet aroma. But to others, it was the smell of death. See, those captives knew that as they got into town and they were burning this incense, that they were soon to die. But those that were in the city, that were part of the city, they were doing it as aroma of life because they had won the battle. It was a celebration time. I got news for you. Not everybody's going to like you. To some people, you're going to stink. Why? Because you're going to convict them. They're going to look at your life and they're going to say, year and a half sober? How'd she do that? Are you following me? Be careful when you want everybody to like you. It's a trick of the enemy. Not everybody's going to like you. I don't like you. No, I'm teasing. When we try to please people, many times we will disappoint God. Oh, folks, listen to me. There's only one you have to please. And it's not your pastor. Hallelujah. Live your life to please him. If he tells you to go, you go. If he tells you to speak, you speak. And if he tells you to shut up, shut up. Say, well, God wouldn't say that. Oh, yes, sir. Matter of fact, sometimes I think he tells me to be quiet more than he tells me to speak. Can't imagine that, can you? Bible goes on, though. Paul switches gears. I see, I wish I could stay and just preach verses 1 and 2. I just wish that's my heart. I don't want to get into verses 3 through 14. But we have to, because we live in a culture that is promoting anything goes. And the church is buying into it. We're not preaching a countercultural doctrine anymore. Oh, I'm so thankful for grace. I can live any way I want to live and still make it to heaven. You are fooling yourself. This is what I didn't want to do. He says, these are the attributes that ought not even be named among believers. Fornication. That's sex outside of marriage in any way. It's immorality. But the Greek word, did you see it? Jeez, I wonder what word we get from that. Pornea. We get pornography. And this is what statistics say. 70% of our culture views pornography on a regular basis. And it doesn't really change whether you're in the church or out of the church. Do we have a problem? Yeah, we have a problem. Sin is rampant. We wonder why we're not experiencing the miracles. You cannot live with one foot in the world. You can. One foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. It's the most miserable life you'll ever live. You won't be happy either place. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Right? I'm preaching old timey. Behavior such as prostitution, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. We love to preach on homosexuality, but leave that fornication and adultery alone. We preach on the things that don't bother us. You can preach on this all day long, but leave gossip alone. You know, back 50 years ago, we didn't have this junk in the church like we do today. You know, since we started this church in 2012, and I've never culled it, I've always preached against living together. If you are living in sin, if you're living together before you're married, I would not want to meet my maker. I pray to God you make that right before you die. And you just don't know when that day is going to happen. It's a serious thing. You may think, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, it is to God. He says it's not coming into my kingdom. Get it right. Uncleanness. Not talking about a dirty house. Now, if I was writing this, I'd talk about a dirty house. Implies moral corruption, impurity, usually of a sexual nature. And then of all these things that he's listing, blah, 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 all these sexual sins, right in the middle, he throws in greed. I'm like, Paul, what are you doing to us? And my mind goes to money, but that's not the intention of this verse. It's not greed of money, it's greed of sex. It's people that can't keep their mind out of the gutter. We maybe call them sex addicts today. We put an addict on everything. We could just call it sin. Somehow it seems like addict makes us feel a little better. It's that insatiable desire for sexual indulgence. Listen to me really closely. You can have that as a married man also. Let me tell you, if you don't beat this as a young man, you're going to be an old pervert. Because we just become a little bit more of who we are as we age. You better grab hold of this and you better conquer it. What satisfies you today will not satisfy you in 6 months sexually. Satan's got a hook in your mouth and he's just reeling you in. Maybe today you're just viewing pornography every once in a while. It won't satisfy you in a little while. You're going to need more and more, more stuff to stimulate you. Paul's helping us find some boundaries. It's not even to be named among you. Then he lists three more. Explicit sexual, obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. Why not talk like the world? Why not be telling the jokes of the world? And if somebody tells it to you, don't laugh. Walk away. Let them see that you will not listen to that. We've said it many times, my ears are not garbage cans. I don't want to hear the filth of the world. There's something, Satan does a trick on your mind. I viewed pornography for the first time when I was 12 years old. Do you know I can still bring that up in my mind 50 years later? But you asked me what I read yesterday? Why? When you view pornography, Satan burns it in your head. He burns that image into your mind. Now, I'm not smart, but that's what social scientists say. But it's just a book, or it's just... No, you need to take just off of that. It's filth. And it's going to distort your marriage. It's going to distort men. It's going to distort how you look at women. It just ought not be this way in the house of God. Amen. Whatever happened to holiness? My Bible still says without holiness, no one will see God. So he goes from here to here. Coarse jokes, right? He says it's not good to put it in your mind, it's not good to act it out, and it's not good to speak it. Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Clean your mind, clean your mouth. It just happens. In contrast, he said there is one characteristic that we ought to have in abundance: thankfulness. You know, there's a lot of the word of God that I preach, I just don't understand it. It's like he's saying, if you'll do this one, if you'll be thankful for what God is doing, we can downplay this stuff. This other stuff will begin to die in you. Begin to be thankful for what God is doing in your life. Be a person of worship. Say, what helps that, Pastor? The Spirit of the Lord. You have a hard time being thankful? Try being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, your thankfulness will not be far off. I don't know why. I don't know how he does that. But God somehow, when that spirit comes in, thankfulness comes up. I know that doesn't even make sense to some of you. Remember, your life follows your most dominant thought. What is your mind on most of the time? If it's on filth, if it's on, if you've bought into the lie of the devil, the lie of culture, that it doesn't matter what you think. Oh, it's okay to fantasize. Even when you're making love with your wife, you could be thinking about something else. That's nonsense. That's just idiotic. God's not blessing that. Y'all are quiet on me. Paul swings back around. He says, no impure, no immoral or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ. He says, don't be an idolater. Don't worship the things of this world. What does this world worship? Money, sex. You got a product to sell? Put a half-naked girl up there and make her promote it. Sex sells everything. David said, I'll put no wicked thing before my eye. If we do that, we're going to walk around like this. Dear God. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. I wish I could tell you every church will preach against this stuff, but that's not true. Quite the contrary. Actually, you're going to have to go far and wide to hear a pastor that will preach against people living together. You know why? Because people are living together in the congregation. We're so scared that we're going to offend somebody and that somebody's going to leave our congregation, we quit preaching the word. Well, guess what? There's the door. That's right. I don't mean that bad. I don't want you to leave. I want you to change. The blessing comes from obedience. Do you know that people that live together have a higher rate of divorce than those that don't? It's proven out, guys. Do it His way. His way is always the best way. God's got the truth. Don't listen to the world. I even know parents that are encouraging their kids, just live together. Not in my house, you're not. People ask me all the time, it says, well, when my kids come and they're living together, what should I do when they come to my house? I got two bedrooms or a couch. You're not sleeping together in my house. Don't do that to me. let's just get through it. I still got one friend in here. In the Bible times, they had a group of people called the Gnostics. The Gnostics didn't even believe that Jesus had a physical body. They believed that he was just really a spirit that presented himself as a physical body. But they believed Gnostics, they believed in knowledge. It's all about the knowledge that you receive, much like our world today. But they didn't believe that what you did in the flesh mattered at all. Doesn't that sound like today? Is that not the philosophy? Well, it doesn't matter how you live as long as you love Jesus. You're going to love Jesus and go straight to hell. That's not me. I'm not being mean. I'm preaching you the Word of God. He goes on. He says, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. I think that's a good question. Many years ago, when my mother-in-law was still alive, she taught kids, and they would ask her, Sister Reagan, can I do this and still make it to heaven? Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do this and still make it to heaven? She said, you're asking the wrong questions. Why is it that we want to know just how much of the world we can live in and still make it to heaven? Why not ask, how holy can I be? What will God be? What will God do with my life if I sell out to Him 100%? You may think this is worldwide. You may think that the earth is full of people that are sold out to Christ. And I'm telling you, it's not. Do you know that only 8% of people that call themselves Christians in America are biblical minded? We've got a breakdown in the church. And if revival is going to start in the house of God, let's start now. Walk in light, because we're children of light. Here's what the Lord gave me. Just dropped this into my spirit. He says, don't condone what I condemn. I'm getting to be older. Not old, older. And I've counseled a lot of people. And I've seen people that were one time godly, because it came into their family, they begin to change what they believe. Don't change your beliefs. Not if they're the Word. Whether your family participates, no matter what your family does, you stick to the Word. Just hang with the Word. The Word is truth. You know, it never changes. Truth never changes. Oh, culture wants to make it change. You be you and I'll be me. Why don't we both be Christian? So that the standard will be the same for all of us. Treva, when we're done, let's get out of here real quick. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship. Doesn't mean that you can't be a friend to sinners. I believe we are supposed to be friends to sinners, where we can win them to the Lord. But you don't participate in their sin. Right? There should be a separation. We don't even laugh about it. You know what the Bible says? Expose it. You know what I'm doing today? I'm exposing some things that are secret, are being hidden in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not going to expose your name, because I love you too much to do that. But the preaching of the Word exposes sin. Jesse Duplantis one time was out on a conference, and this woman began to try to seduce him. You know what he did? He began to shout, "Whore of Babylon! Whore of Babylon!" I got news for you. She got out of Dodge. See, the trouble is when we rub shoulders. See, if you flirt long enough, you'll probably be in bed with somebody you're not married to. You just got to, young ladies, young men, when you start going on a date, you need to have your boundaries already set before you ever step foot in the car. You need to know what you're going to put up with. Will I let him hold my hand? Will I let him kiss me on the cheek? And that better be as far as it goes. He says, "Awake, you who sleep." Church, that is us. What is your part of this? Pray. Pray. be willing to tell people you're living in sin. I love you, but God can't bless that lifestyle. I don't ride them. I'm going to tell them once. I'm not going to ride somebody. I'm not their God, and I'm not their judge. But I will tell them truth. Hey, listen, God can't bless this. Had a couple come to the altar. Not just living together. Will you ask God to bless us so we can have children? I said, no, I won't. God won't bless what he hasn't ordained. When you get married, I'll pray that God will bless you with children. The conversations we have, aren't they wonderful? He says, awake you who sleep, rise from the dead. That means get out of the sin, come out from that, and Christ will give you light. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Let him bring that joy that you're looking for. Don't do it the world's way, is my word to you. God's way is better. Our behavior ought to conform to the nature of Christ. Don't you believe the lie that's being told today that Mary Magdalene was a lover of Jesus? That Jesus was a closet homosexual? It's ridiculous. Ought to be a sin just to say that. Jesus was pure and holy in every way and never committed sin. The Bible says he was tempted in every way. He had the thoughts. He didn't act upon them. Satan tried to get him to commit sin in many different ways. But he was not successful. So let me just say this. Sometimes he is successful with me. Sometimes I do wind up messing up. What do you do? I'm not preaching condemnation. I'm saying let's make a change. Let's not just get down on ourselves. That doesn't help anybody. Let's make a valuable decision to say, you know what? Pastor is preaching the word of God. That's correct. I need to stop living this way. I need to clean up my thoughts. I told you this last week when Peter preached at the day of Pentecost, the right response was, what shall we do? Don't leave the way you came. Let's decide that we want to see what God will do with our lives if we give him every bit, every ounce of energy that we have. What will God do with a man that's sold out, the woman that is sold out? He always calls us to triumph. Always leads us to triumph. You know what we need? It's these guys gathered around me today praying. I said, God, give us mighty men. David had 30 mighty men. He had an army, a great big army, but he talked about 30 of them. And three of them specifically. Shemaiah, Shemal, standing in his bean field when the Philistines thought they wanted his beans. And Shemal thought, not today. You've been robbing us long enough. He stood in that bean field and killed, I think, 800. One man killed 800 Philistines. Say, Pastor, that's not a very good story. That's a great story. Because that's a story that says God added his super to that man's natural. No one man could do that. That was a feat. That was a great victory for the kingdom of God. What would happen if one man would say, God, I am determined to control my thoughts? I'm telling you, you'll be tempted. But when the temptation comes, God always makes a way of escape. And say, God, I thank you, Lord. I put that down in Jesus' name. I will not think that way. I'm walking in the light. I'm telling you, God is looking for men and women to show himself true, to show himself powerful and strong in this age. Right now, what we need more than anything is not a hero that can play baseball, but it's a hero that can walk with Christ. We are elevating people because they can take a little ball and throw in the hoop. Give me a break. What about men and women of God who will not for any reason bear? How about the Billy Grahams of this world? He's been dead, what, 10 years? And his name still is not tarnished. I'm not elevating a man. I'm saying, you think God just wanted one Billy Graham? God wants a million Billy Grahams. And you, I don't care what your yesterday was, you can be one. You can be one of God's mighty men today. I don't care what yesterday was like. Yesterday may have been the epic failure of your life. Aren't you thankful? God redeems and God restores. My future does not dictate my past does not dictate my future. That book up there is what determines my future. That book that says he causes us to triumph. Satan wants to take you out, especially if you start living godly. If you start being a threat to the kingdom, Satan's going to try to take you out, but he can't do it. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You don't live in fear to the enemy killing you or to your wife dropping water right when you're making a great point. Don't be a stinker. I really want you to get this. You have an opportunity to bring a sweet-smelling aroma before the throne of God. It's in your obedience. Do you want to please him? How bad do you want to please him? Is it the goal of your heart? No, nothing else is more important to me than pleasing him. Not being a good husband, which I fail on many times, mostly on Sundays. Not being a good pastor. Not having money. Are you following me? The goal of my life is to live a life that pleases him. So that when I come before the throne, I hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Would you stand with me? Trevor, would you play "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? Some hard decisions I think are going to have to be made right now. I would encourage you to make it in the house, because if you wait till you leave this room, it's going to be even more difficult to make the challenge. Have you decided to follow Jesus, to live for him all the days of your life? Not to condone what Jesus condemns, but to live godly. Would you bow your head? Father, I have preached your word to the best of my ability. Father, I tried my best not to get legalistic, but just to preach truth, very straightforward. God, as quiet as they were today, I know they were listening. I know the Spirit of God was convicting. And I pray, Lord, right now, as decisions need to be made, that the Spirit of God would enable us to make godly decisions. God, we need your help. With every head bowed, every eye closed, including mine, because this is between you and the Lord, but I believe that you need to do something today. Would you just raise your hands and say, Lord, forgive me, and I choose to live for you all the days of my life. I choose to be an imitator of Christ and not an indulger of my flesh. I can't make that decision for you. You need to make it for yourself, and it needs to be heartfelt, because there may be some changes that need to happen in your household. Father God, I pray right now for those who have lifted their hands. Lord, I pray that you would empower them with the Holy Spirit, with a stern spirit, God. Lead them out of sin into righteousness. God, I pray for the people that have listened to me both online and in the house. God, that we would choose holiness, that we would choose purity, both of mind and body. God, that we would walk with you and imitate Christ in this land. I pray, God, that you would raise up mighty men and women of faith in this church. God, help us, Lord, to be a witness of your goodness, of your grace, and of your power in the city of Paris, in the county of Henry. God, let people see that there is a church that is alive. There's a church that lives their convictions. They're not just one way on Sunday and every other way through the week, but they are true to what they preach. God, help us to be people of integrity. Lord, I pray, empower us and help us to make godly decisions. Lord, I pray, Lord, for my part, from the part of this church, let no judgment arise. God, all we're looking for is your truth. We're not looking for man's judgment. God, we just want your truth. We want to walk it out the way you told us. I pray, Lord, that light would shine in the darkness. And I pray for those that have been hiding their sin in the darkness, that they would bring it to the light right now in Jesus' name. Whatever that means for people, God, let us bring the things out of the darkness into your light so that you can expose them, so that you can get us help. Lord, we need deliverance. We need your power flowing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Denny, would you come? Can we sing this? Let's just sing this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing it as a prayer to him.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Would you just raise your hands?
No turning back.
Come on, just raise your hands. Sing it as a prayer.
No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before. none go with me, still I will follow.
Thursday, the clean out of the garage. So if you're free Thursday, that'd be great. I think the kids are out of school now, right? So if any of you guys are free Thursday, they sure could use your help. So 10 o'clock Thursday, many hands make light work, right? Amen. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.